It's time for the truth. Will you join me in studying the Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're studying the book of Jonah. We love studying the precious Word of God, and we're continuing the study in the book of Jonah. We're in the second chapter, and we're going to be reading from the 6th through the 10th verse. We may touch into the 3rd chapter possibly, but we're going to be reading to begin with Jonah chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. If you're just joining us for the first time, I'd love for you to be with us and enjoy studying the precious Word. If you've studied along with us now, as we have had many weeks of the precious Word of God, I ask that you just enjoy the precious study and continue to grow with me. I'd like to share with you, while you're looking that up in your Bible so that you can read along with me, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd love to invite you to services. We do have Sunday school and church on Sunday morning. 9:30 is Sunday school, 10:35 is church. Then we have Bible studies here at the church at 7 o'clock on Sunday night. At 1 o'clock, a ladies' Bible study on Tuesday afternoon, and then at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. And so we love studying the Word of God, as well as having the radio program that we have each Sunday morning. So I ask that you would please listen and just enjoy the precious Word of God as we study it today. And I ask you that you would join us if you do not have a church home. It's important that you're in a church where they preach the gospel. It's important that you're in a church where that they tell you how to be saved, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And it's important that you have watched and witnessed people being saved. Oh, if you're in a church that you don't ever remember anybody being saved, you don't even know or remember somebody talking about Jesus, you don't hear people inviting you to come to the Lord Jesus and be saved, then I ask that you best get to finding a church that does. The Scripture tells us in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling. Please, that you be in the house of God. It's so important. God knew it was important that you be in the house of God, so please be there. Isn't it? We read now the sweet Scripture as you follow along. In Jonah chapter 2, reading from verse 6 to verse 10, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with its bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, and to thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed salvation is of the Lord. The Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah to dry land. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of his precious sweet word. Father, we thank you today that we can have your word, God's word. We can have it in our hands. We can study it, search it, and enjoy it so much. I ask, Father, that you will please guide and lead and touch each one of our hearts. It's so easy for us, Father, to get sidetracked upon things of this world and of this life and forget and leave you. And when we do that, we forget and leave all the pleasure of serving you, the joy of serving you, the peace that comes into our heart, the blessings that you have for us. So much, Father, is lost when we walk away from you. I ask, Father, that we turn away from the things of this world and we set our eyes upon you to serve you. Now, please, that you would guide and lead us. And every person that's listening today, I ask that you would just touch their heart as we pore over this precious scripture. Help us to understand exactly how it applies to our life this day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been studying the book of Jonah, and if you have just tuned in, you haven't been listening before, and you decided someone maybe has invited you to listen to the radio program, or maybe this is just a time that you have crossed through the radio and have stumbled on to this program, well, I hope that you stay. I hope that it just didn't stumble in, you stumble out. I hope that you stay and listen and enjoy it. We have watched Jonah as he heard the word of the Lord, and he was told, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me," in verse 2 of chapter 1. We find him leaving and running away, and he ran away, going down. He paid the fare. He went down into a ship, and he decided that he was going to flee from the presence of the Lord. Well, there was a great storm. As that great storm come, it not only put Jonah into jeopardy as far as his life is concerned, but it also put in the sailors, the mariners, those that were sailing the ship, and they tried everything, and they ended up unloading all of the goods, or many of the goods, trying to save themselves, and it didn't work, and they tried to row to shore or to a safe place. That didn't work. And it's just an example of what we try to do. We try to do so many things in our own life. And when I tell you that you need to be in a church that preaches the gospel, that you need to be there where you can hear clearly, and there's a altar call given at the end of the service that calls you to come to Jesus, that you will invite Him to be your Savior. Now, when I tell you that, I mean it from my heart. It's from the Word of God. And the Scripture tells us in Romans, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need to call upon the Lord to be saved. These mariners, the pictures that we have here is of Jonah, as we come up to the time that they had done everything they could try to do, but they finally gave up, and they finally picked Jonah up, and they cast him overboard. He had told them ahead of time exactly what to do. He said, if you would pick me up and throw me overboard, the sea would cease her raging. She would be quiet. And as they finally listened to this backslidden prophet of Jonah, as they finally listened and they picked Jonah up and they cast him overboard, well, exactly the thing happened that Jonah told them would happen, and that is that the sea was quiet, was completely still. Well, the sailors were excited to see that. And you know, when you see the power of God that can take a storm that believes that your life is in jeopardy and you're going to die any second, and just that split second, it's calm. Now, storm will slowly quiet itself down, but not when the hand of God's upon it. The hand of God was upon the sea, and the sea was quiet instantly. And these sailors couldn't believe what they had seen. And it says that they made vows. In verse 16 of chapter 1, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. It's too bad today that you don't see the Lord Jesus in people and in things that God is a part of, that you would come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. But you're still responsible, even if you don't know someone that is a believer in Jesus Christ and living the life they should be living and acting the way they should be acting. Don't use that as an excuse. I want you to come to Jesus today. By you hearing these words and listening, you're getting an opportunity to be saved, to get your sins taken away. You're a sinner, you're lost in your sin, you're condemned in your sin. Please that you come to the Lord Jesus. Well, as the sea was quiet, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, as the Lord Jesus would be in the grave 3 days and three nights some years later. And as Jesus went into that grave 2,000 years ago, He was in there 3 days and three nights. Now, I don't care how you want to count, and we're not going to take time today to do that. We may do that at another time. I don't care how you want to count to get to what we call Easter Sunday, the resurrection day of Jesus. But the days don't count up very well. 3 days and three nights. Now, I believe that. Now, you can have all kinds of reasoning out that a part of a day is a full day, and so you don't have to have... I don't believe any of that. It said 3 days and three nights. And man has established and have misled so often what we should know. And when the Word of God says 3 days and three nights, that's exactly what I believe. And I know that Jesus was in that grave. His body was in that grave 3 days and three nights. But His soul was in Sheol, in the center of the earth, a keeping place of those that had died. There's two sections. Now, we read back in Luke 2 weeks ago, and we referred to it last week, that there are two sections. There is a place that was for those that was condemned because they did not come to Jesus. And then there are those that were saved, that had trusted by faith in the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And they were in a place of comfort. So we have a place of torment and a place of comfort. Jesus went to the place of comfort. Jonah went to the place of comfort. Many people believe that Jonah was alive those 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish. I don't believe that at all. I think that Jonah was dead. I think Jonah, in the first verse, he prayed out of the fish's belly, and that speaks of that in the Hebrew. But when you look at verse 2, the second, the belly of Sheol, cried I, he was in the place of the dead. Those that had went on, and their body, Jonah's body, was laying in the fish's belly. But his soul was in paradise, in the place of the keeping of the dead. Sheol, as some of the scripture refers to it, it's a place in the center of the earth, and that's a place where all those that were saved and lost, condemned and comforted, would go until a given time. As we talked last week and the week before, those that are condemned, they are still there. Those that are comforted, those that are saved, those that come by faith to Jesus Christ, when Jesus went to the cross and completed all the work of redemption, he did everything for you. He bought and paid for you by his precious blood. He then took all those that was in that part and took them home, and they're in the presence of the Lord right now in heaven. Now, we have that beautiful picture here, and as we finish up now that part of it, as we have in verse 6, and I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her, its bars was about me forever, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. We have in Psalm 16:10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. You know, as we look at that precious example, as the Lord Jesus, when his body was in the grave, that body saw no corruption. When the body of Jonah was in the belly of the fish, it saw no corruption. The beautiful picture that we have, Jesus himself in Matthew and in Luke refers to this scripture. So please, you don't deny this. Don't say this is just an old fish story or it's just a parable, because it's not. It's something that actually and really happened. And I want you to believe that. I want you to believe the Word of God. Because if you lack believing this beautiful picture of Jonah, when Jesus himself refers to it, then what are you going to do about Jesus? You know, that's a question I'll ask at the end of this program. I ask it at the end of every program that I've had, and that's, what are you going to do about Jesus? Well, I ask that you don't deny this precious scripture here in Jonah, that you look at it, you search it, you believe it, and you enjoy it. And you can do that if you'll come by faith to Jesus and search his precious word. It's exciting to walk after that. We have a couple verses of scripture I'd like to read for you in verses 5 and 6. It says, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. We have in Psalm 69:1, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. In Psalms 42:7, we have, the deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. I went down to the bottom of the mountains, verse 6 in chapter 2 of Jonah says, and the earth with its bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Now verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, thine holy temple. You know, pride is one of the worst things that any man can have. And sometimes when Jonah decided not to do the will of God, when he chose to run away, there was one thing that entered in there. He didn't want to go. I don't know whether he didn't want to go because he didn't like the people and didn't feel that they deserved any kind of message from God, or whether he didn't like the people and so he just plain didn't want to go because he hated the people. Maybe he just plain didn't want to go. He didn't have a feeling one way or the other about the Ninevites, but he didn't want to go. Whatever the excuse was that he used, it wasn't a good one. But it was a reason, an excuse that he used. But you know, finally God got a hold of him. And even to the point where he was dead, his body was in the place of comfort, Abraham's bosom. He was in that location. And if you go back to the book of Luke, as we did a few weeks ago, and read the precious story about the rich man and Lazarus, you'll find what I'm talking about here. We backed many of the verses of Scripture here with the books, with the story in the precious message that we had in Luke. And as you look at these verses of Scripture, one confirms another, and we love the Word of God, and it never contradicts itself from one point to the other. But here we find that even then, even with his soul in comfort and his body in the bellies of that fish yet, it says, "My soul fainted within me, and I remembered the Lord." What's it going to take in your life that you're going to remember the Lord? What excuse are you using for not having the countenance of a sweet Christian lady or a sweet Christian man, a sweet Christian young man or young child or children, as you should come to know the Lord Jesus and walk after Jesus? Where are you getting your personality and the way you treat people and the way you act? What are you talking about? Please that you look into the Lord Jesus for your power and strength. This man here, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, unto thine holy temple." It's precious that when finally his heart got to a place where that he turned unto the Lord Jesus, where he turned unto God, then is when he found the salvation that he had for him. I ask that you look and search your own heart. We find that most folks go along with verse 8. "They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." Though they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. If you want to follow after another God, if you want to follow after money, car, job, maybe you're following after someone instead of following after Jesus. Well, I tell you what, that person will fail you. That car will fail you. That's going to rust in two. And that money is going to be no good to you. Oh, you can buy a lot of things, but you sure can't buy happiness. You search your own heart. Please, as you look to other things, you're forsaking your own way, your own ability to be saved. As you look to other things, I ask that you come to Jesus. I have asked you that repeatedly, Sunday after Sunday, day after day as we have met. I have asked you to come to Jesus. And you can go to your church and you sit in your pew and you say, "Well, my preacher don't tell me that." Well, and your preacher isn't telling you the Word of God. The Word of God clearly tells us that all can come to the Lord Jesus and all can be saved if they'll come by faith to Jesus. And everyone can have a peace and a joy in their heart. And everyone can have the power of God in their heart. And they can walk with a strong mind and with boldness to tell others about Jesus and to live that life of godliness. We have no morals in this country anymore because the presence of God has left. I ask that you follow after Jesus. You follow after and seek the power and the presence of God. And if you'll come this day, if you'll come today, come right now to Jesus and say, "Jesus, please would you come into my heart and forgive me. I'm a poor, wretched sinner. Please that you'd save me." And he will. All you have to do is turn to him. You feel that calling of that Holy Spirit, you need to turn to him. This man here, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And we've got a multitude of people that are doing that today. And maybe you're one of them. I ask that you come to the cross of Calvary, the precious gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I ask that you call on him today. Come to him today. "I will sacrifice unto thee," verse 9 tells us, "with the voice of thanksgiving." Oh, finally, when we get our heads screwed on straight. You know, we've got to recognize that our way is worthless. Jonah finally realized his way was worthless. Will you please get to that point quickly? That you understand that your way is a hopeless, worthless way. And the only way is Jesus. Please that you come to him and trust in him. Again, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Salvation is of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 23. "Truly, in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel." I hope that you can get that, because that salvation come right on through to Israel and right on to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. The Savior of all men. What folks do with that, that says some will be saved and others don't have a choice, don't even have an opportunity. Well, I'm telling you that you do have a choice and you do have an opportunity, and I ask that you come to Jesus today and be saved. Because when you look at that sweet, precious verse and it says salvation is of the Lord, that is the only way. The only way. I'm trying to take your life and turn it from something that's miserable and wretched and you can't, it doesn't make any sense. You can't figure out why you're even here or what you're doing. And the sad thing is that there's many Christians that are in that same mess, in that same mode today. I ask that you would come to Jesus by faith and be saved. If you have come by faith to Jesus and you know you're a child of God, then I ask that you get into the Word of God. That's the reason I spend time with the sweet Bible studies. It doesn't matter whether I'm teaching Sunday school on Sunday morning, and I've got the sweetest class. I've got 5-, 6-, and 7-year-olds, and I love teaching those kids. Or whether I'm preaching from the pulpit to all different ages, and they sit and listen to the Word of God. Or we come back on Sunday night, and we sit there, and we study the precious Word. We search the Word. We're in the book of Isaiah right now. We're enjoying the book of Isaiah as we study verse by verse. Or if we're on Tuesday night and we're up at La Harpe and we meet up there in the nursing home as we study that precious Word, we open it up, young and old, we sit there and study the precious Word. We're in the book of Acts. We come back here on Wednesday night, and on Wednesday night we're in the book of Numbers, same thing. We sit down together and we open that precious Word and verse by verse, and we're right at the threshold right now where Aaron is about to die. And we have that Moses is about to die. It's where Moses struck the rock twice and he was rebuked by the Lord. That's where we're at. We study those verses of Scripture because I want you to know that's where the power is God's Word is the power. Not mine, not any place else. And then this past week on Thursday night, we were back in the homes up at the Johnsons on Thursday night, and we sat down with other folks and studied the Word of God again. And we're in the book of Colossians on Thursday night. Oh, we love the Word of God. We love studying the Word of God. And we come together every week with the book of Jonah on the radio. The power is in God's Word. And we have it right here in our hands. Now please, that you don't ignore that. And understand that salvation is of the Lord. It's the only means, the only way that you have. So please, that you come to Jesus today. And at that point in time, when Jonah finally got his head screwed on straight. And you know, I can't make it any plainer than that. When he finally got things worked out, and how far down did he have to go? He had to go all the way down to the what we call paradise, what we call a place of comfort, the place of Abraham's bosom, a place in the center of the earth that was a place to keep those folks that were saved until Jesus could finish the work on the cross. As we said before, don't get in your head that somebody can come and go. As far as from one side into the place of torment or the place of comfort, there is no going from one side to the other. So please don't misunderstand that at all. And at the same time, we have, according to the book of Luke, a conversation that's going on between people that are in torment, the place of torment, and the people that are in paradise. It goes on. The conversation goes on. I think that's part of the torment of those that are in hell because they did not come by faith to Jesus. And those that are in comfort, and I know maybe you don't think that's right, that they could see across this great gulf and could see people over there in the pain and suffering. But you know, when we go beyond this world into the presence of Jesus, as we'll go straight to heaven now. But we are in total agreement with the presence and the power of God, with God Himself. We'll be in total agreement. Well, by being in total agreement, we know why those people will be cast into the lake of fire. We know why those people are in torment right now. It is because they did not come by faith to Jesus and were saved. That's their choice. They have made a decision. It's offered to them. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans tells us, please, that you come to Jesus. The Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. You know what happens when we turn and get our eyes focused back on Jesus? Then we're back into service. We're back into the blessings of God. We're back into the time that we can see God and hear God and are obedient to what He calls us to do. Isn't that something, how the Lord has such control? He has the control of the sea. It was a fierce storm, and just that quick, it was totally still and quiet. We have a great fish in verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. We have in verse 10 of chapter 2. That was in chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 10. The Lord spoke to that fish and it vomited out Jonah. Now isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful that we serve a God that has such control? Well, He has a mighty power. And He has control of everything. Don't you want to serve a God that has complete control? Why do you want to hang on to those lying vanities that verse 8 tells us about? You know what they are in your life. Maybe it's that silly pride that keeps you from coming to Jesus and repenting. Maybe it's that crazy pride that doesn't let you get down on your knees and say, God, please that you'll forgive me. Please get all these things out of my mind, out of my head, and let me sit down and serve you and praise you and be a servant in your name, that I can proclaim that precious name, that Jesus is alive. Oh, to tell people that Jesus died. We need to tell people that they died. We need to tell people that He rose again 3 days and three nights, not three partial days and two half a nights, 3 days and three nights. He came out of that grave alive. We need to tell people that. We need to tell people that they're saved by His precious blood. There's life in blood, in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you'll come to Jesus, you can receive and be covered by the blood of Jesus till your sins are taken away. Now see, the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament would just cover the sin. But when that precious blood of Jesus come to the altar of God, your sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. And we do serve a God that has total and complete control. The Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah into the dry land. Now we're back to service. Let me read the first verse of chapter 3. The Lord spoke, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. We've heard these words before, haven't we? Well, let's wait and see. You'll have to come back next time and see what Jonah does this time. Are you a fast learner? Can you learn what God has for you the first time, or does He have to take you through things two or three times before you can catch on? God tells you to repent of your sin. He tells you to sit down and follow Him. Listen to Him. Be a servant to Him. Walk after Him. He calls you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what are you going to do with this Jesus?